Penguin Random House Canada presents Painkiller, A Memoir of Big League Addiction by Brant Myers, with foreword by Michael Landsberg. Read for you by the author. Foreword read by Michael Landsberg. I dedicate this book to those who kept me on a path that enabled me to write this. My daughter Chloe, my grandma Jo, and my grandpa Bob. Thank you for being my reason to keep swinging. New beginnings are often disguised as painful endings. Lao Tzu.
Foreword by Michael Landsberg. I hate sports books. I really do. Most sports books are about success. For me, that's the turnoff right there. For me, reading about success in pro sport is dull, predictable, and for most of us, also unattainable. I want to read about struggle. Struggle is what teaches us about the world around us and the world inside us. So why did I read this book? Pure struggle. Let's face it, Brant Myers had 8 points in 154 NHL games, so you know his book isn't about tickling the twine so much as riding the pine. But there is plenty of struggle. One thing you'll learn quickly in Painkiller is that Brant Myers liked strippers. Brant liked to party with strippers. Brant liked to drink and do coke with strippers. In the end, his stripper friends taught him well. As you hold his book in your hands, consider it your entry into the champagne room of Brant's life. Brant's going to show you everything, and it will engage you in a way that might shock you. It shocked me. It wasn't so much the wild life he led that shocked me. What shocked me was that there is so much about mental health and addiction that I found out I didn't know. I know more now. So will you. I should tell you about my mental health, or rather my mental illness. Not because you need to know anything about me. This is Brant's book. But it helps explain why he invited me to read his book and why we became bonded in such an unusual and deep way. I grew up being scared of too many things to list. Here's just a sampling. I was scared of sleepovers. I was scared of camp. I was scared of girls. I was scared of liquor and weed and anything else that would cause me to lose some control. Oh yeah, add to the list every illness imaginable. And that's it. Except for elevators and middle seats in movie theaters. Basically, I was scared of most of the things other teenagers lived for. Most of all, though, I was scared of throwing up. Petrified of puking, vomiting, heaving, ralphing, under any name, it was the enemy. And more than that, the fear of being around someone who even hinted they might vomit was overpowering and all-consuming. It ran my life. I was constantly afraid that people would find out about my ridiculous fears, so I became adept at making excuses for not doing things. The overriding feeling for me was one of shame. I felt like I was somehow responsible for my fears. I was sure I was the only person on the planet who had these fears. So it was a great day for me when I read about phobias and discovered there was something called emetophobia. Emetophobia is in the medical books as the fear of throwing up or being around someone who throws up. I was thrilled to learn that I wasn't the only one and that my affliction actually had a name and that it wasn't loser. That, my new friends, is vindication. I wanted to race around waving it in people's faces. See, I wasn't making it up. I'm not immature or weak or lazy. I wanted to stand up in class and yell it. Then I realized I was too scared to stand up in class and yell. Not with all those girls there. So there was that. And then there was depression. Like most of the world, I had no clue what it was until I felt it. I figured depression was like another Disney World Kingdom, Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, Frontierland, and Excuse Land. In Excuse Land, the most popular attraction is a bunch of beds in the dark that people lie in and whine about how they don't have the will to get up. Of course, the ghosts don't just say boo, but boo fucking who. It wasn't until I felt severe depression that I realized it was nothing like I'd imagined. I remind myself of my own former ignorance when I hear people today expressing the same stigmatizing things that I used to think. Fact, if you haven't felt depression, do not think you understand depression. Don't tell people like Brant and me, we all go through it. We don't all go through it. You aren't stronger than me or Brant or your wife or your kid or anyone else with depression. You haven't had it not because of your strength, but because of your luck. One of the things that hit me hardest in this book was Brant's less than ideal upbringing. When I think of what I was given compared to what he was given, it's not surprising that his struggles to find his way were a million times tougher than mine. It was like I was born with a flashlight in my hand. I would have preferred a silver spoon in my mouth, but the flashlight was the love I received from so many who loved me unconditionally, and that allowed me to find my way out of the darkness. Brant didn't have that. You'll learn that, and you'll sympathize with him like I did, but you'll not detect a hint of self-sympathy. He makes no excuses for his behavior. He reports it as an observer of his own life, not as a participant. It's like he's telling the story in the third person. I love that. Oh yeah, the lesson Brant learned from the strippers I was referring to was pretty simple. The more you expose, the more effective you are. Painkiller is that strip bar that allows anything. Hide nothing, show it, shake it, write it. Dignity is a weird thing. There's no dignity in getting on stage and talking about the one time you were so hammered you got in your car naked. A Brant story. There's enormous dignity in getting on stage and talking about a lifetime of getting hammered and getting naked in your car. The more undignified stories you tell, the more dignified you become. Self-awareness and humility are precious and the key to sobriety. This is 300 pages of dignity by volume. Brant will show you the worst of what he's capable of, and in the end, you'll see the very best. For however long it takes you to read this book, you'll be in the company of a real man. I don't mean someone who fights for a living. I define manhood as the willingness to share your pain for someone else's benefit. That's what real men do. Real women do it too. I met Brant in late 2011. We booked him to be a guest on the show I hosted, Off the Record. We wanted to do a show with and about NHL enforcers. Three men who did that job had died earlier in 2011. That included a guy I loved, Wade Belak. People were, for the first time, realizing that being a fighter in the NHL was not a victimless crime. Almost everyone that has ever done the job has paid a terrible price. "No one gets hurt in a hockey fight" was always a stupid comment made by those who wanted to preserve the tradition. The truth is, everyone gets hurt, not always by the fight or in the fight, but because of the fight. You will never see hockey fighting the same way after reading this book. I greeted Brant in the green room. I was shocked by what I saw. Try to imagine for a moment what the face of long-term addiction might look like. Well, this wasn't it. I don't know what I expected. I knew he'd been sober for a few years, but damn, I thought, he is a good-looking man. Handsome, well-dressed, fit, with a demeanor that didn't match the look. I found him to be humble, poised, and perhaps a bit fearful. He had good reason to be afraid. Not of me. I told him I had his back and that it was my job to make him look good and all he had to do was answer questions about his own life. How tough could that be? Painkiller will show you how tough and why he was worried. I knew a lot about what was in Brant's head. First off, I understood his mental illness. As I told you, I've been crippled at times with anxiety and depression, and I understand the desperation for relief. Before reading this book, I also understood self-medicating. My brother started drinking and taking prescription drugs in his teens, and it wasn't until years later I realized he was medicating for the pain caused by the same illness I had. I also understand the rationale behind self-medicating, and it's surprisingly simple. When you're desperate for relief from pain, tomorrow becomes irrelevant. Long-term damage to your body and your life is irrelevant. All that counts is right now. Offer someone like Brant or my brother instant relief, even if the cost is enormous and they will almost always take it. Almost. So why not me? Answer? I was too afraid of puking. For real. I've never been drunk. I also understood how tough his job in the NHL must have been. As I've mentioned, I was buddies with Wade Belak, who, like Brant, was...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?